Well, good evening, truth seekers. I think I can say that. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike once again this evening. We expect him back with us tomorrow night after another good night's rest. He is improving considerably. That's what we hear from Kathy. And wish him all the best. Have a lot to talk about tonight. And I'd like to start here. Article in today's Washington Post, entitled, War Crimes and the White House. The Dishonor and a Tortured New Interpretation of the Geneva Conventions. And it was written by P.X. Kelly and Robert F. Turner. And it goes like this. One of us was appointed Commandant of the Marine Corps by President Ronald Reagan. The other served as a lawyer in the Reagan White House and has vigorously defended the constitutionality of warrantless National Security Agency wiretaps, presidential signing statements, and many other controversial aspects of the war on terrorism. But we cannot, in good conscience, defend a decision that we believe has compromised our national honor and that may well promote the commission of war crimes by Americans and place at risk the welfare of captured American military forces for generations to come. The Supreme Court held in Ramdan v. Rumsfeld last summer that all detainees captured in the war on terrorism are protected by Carmen Article 3 of the 1949 Geneva Conventions, which prescribes minimum standards of treatment for all persons who are no longer taking an active part in an armed conflict not of an international character. It provides that in all circumstances, detainees are to be treated humanely. This is not just avoiding torture. The article expressly prohibits at any time and in any place whatsoever any acts of violence to life and person or outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment, unquote. Last Friday, the White House issued an executive order attempting to interpret Common Article 3 with respect to a controversial CIA interrogation program. The order declares that the CIA program fully complies with the obligations of the United States under Common Article 3, providing that its interrogation techniques do not violate existing federal statutes, prohibiting such things as torture, mutilation, or maiming, and do not constitute willful and outrageous acts of personal abuse done for the purpose of humiliating or degrading the individual in a manner so serious that any reasonable person, considering the circumstances, would deem the acts to be beyond the bounds of human decency. In other words, as long as the intent of the abuse is to gather intelligence or to prevent future attacks, and the abuse is not done for the purpose of humiliating or degrading the individual, even if that is an inevitable consequence, the president has given the CIA carte blanche to engage in willful and outrageous acts of personal abuse. It is firmly established in international law that treaties are to be interpreted in good faith, in accordance with the ordinary meaning of their words and in light of their purpose. It is clear to us that the language in the executive order cannot even arguably be reconciled with America's clear duty under the Common Article 3 to treat all detainees humanely and to avoid any acts of violence against their person. In April of 1793, Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson wrote to President George Washington that nations were to interpret treaty obligations for themselves, but that the tribunal of our consciences remains, and that also of the opinion of the world. He added that as we respect these, we must see that in judging ourselves, we have honestly done the part of impartial and rigorous judges. To date, in the war on terrorism, including the victims of 9/11 attacks and all U.S. military personnel killed in action in Afghanistan and Iraq, America's losses total about 2% of the forces we lost in World War II and less than 7% of those killed in Vietnam. We did not find it necessary to compromise our honor or abandon our commitment to the rule of law to defeat Nazi Germany or Imperial Japan, or to resist communist aggression in Indochina. On the contrary, in Vietnam, where we both proudly served twice, America voluntarily extended the protections of the full Geneva Conventions on prisoners of war to Viet Cong guerrillas who, like Al-Qaeda, did not even arguably qualify for such protections. The Geneva Conventions provide important protections to our own military forces when we send them into harm's way. Our troops deserve those protections, and we betray their interests when we gratuitously interpret key provisions of the conventions in a manner likely to undermine their effectiveness. Policymakers should also keep in mind that violations of Common Article 3 are war crimes, for which everyone involved, potentially up to and including the President of the United States, may be tried in any of the other 193 countries that are parties to the conventions. In a letter to President James Madison in March 1809, Jefferson observed, "It has a great effect on the opinion of our people and the world to have the moral right on our side." Our leaders must never lose sight of this wisdom. Retired General P.X. Kelly served as Commandant of the Marine Corps from 1983 to 1987. Robert F. Turner is co-founder of the University of Virginia's Center for National Security Law and former chair of the American Bar Association Standing Committee on Law and National Security. Two more Reagan officials speaking out about the abuses of the Bush administration. Torture. Torture. I spoke to an author yesterday, Victor Moss, written a beautiful book about his family's history. His mother and father. His father was conscripted into the Red Army during World War II. Captured. He was a doctor. Captured and held in a Nazi prison camp for 18 months. He and his wife were separated. His wife stayed in their little hometown, even though they were in a lot of danger, and they actually housed the Jewish families in their basement. And it occurred to me, it's been some 60 years since World War II, yet the legacy of the Nazis and their camps still lives on, still is a bar by which all cruelty is held up to. And it occurred to me in speaking to this gentleman that what will they say about our country 50 years from now? Will the pictures of Abu Ghraib, you know the shot I'm talking about, the guy standing on the box with the hood over his head hooked up to the electrodes, is that the image of America moving forward? Are we the new fascists that the world will fear for the next half a century? Will the words United States of America be synonymous with torture, cruel and inhumane punishment throughout the world? I find this incredibly troubling, particularly when coupled with the notion that so much of what this administration does is done in complete secrecy. And even when brought before the United States Senate, they will lie clumsily and smirk back at you from across the table. Well, I think it's great news. I think it's great news that they're asking for a special prosecutor to go after Alberto Gonzalez. I think these are very, very positive. I'm thrilled they subpoenaed Karl Rove today. Finally subpoenaed Karl Rove on the U.S. attorney scandal. What next? Obviously nothing's going to happen in the next week and a half or so. And they're taking the month of August off. What will become of us by September? What will this nation look like when Congress reconvenes in the fall? I'll be back. Hey, we're back. It's the Molloy Show. Ian and I have this little thing. Who's going to push the red button to get me back on the air? I keep forgetting whose job it is. Hey, we're back. We're back. We're back. It's the Mike Molloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number if you want to get on board. I haven't booked any guests to come on with me tonight, so it's just you and me. We'll keep the phone lines open throughout, work some callers in as we go along. I got a few stories I want to tell as well. This one kind of caught me off guard. That's not it. Here it is. And this is from the BBC. There's a show called Document that runs on BBC Radio. The journalist is named Mike Thompson, who's been a reporter over there for probably about 15, 20 years. And it's called White House Coup. This aired on Monday night on the BBC. A document uncovers details of a planned coup in the USA in 1933 by right-wing American businessmen. The coup was aimed at toppling President Franklin Delano Roosevelt with the hope of 500,000 war veterans. The plotters, who were alleged to involve some of the most famous families in America, owners of Heinz, Birdseye, Good Tea, Maxwell House, and George Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, believed that their country should adopt the policies of Hitler and Mussolini to beat the Great Depression. And the BBC asked, why so little is known about the biggest ever peacetime threat to American democracy? I urge you to check out bbc.co.uk, Radio 4. And you can listen to the program yourself. Now, I find that fascinating. Now, I've heard for years that Prescott Bush and his banking interests, he was a financier of Hitler in the 30s. Before we were at war with them, and leading up close to the time we were, I think it was actually Harry Truman and his war profiteering group that went after Prescott Bush, and I think it was actually Smedley Butler, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with his work, War is a Racket, had a lot to do with outing Prescott Bush and his ties to the Nazis. But I had no idea that they were plotting to overthrow FDR in the 30s. As the BBC is exposed. No idea. But it doesn't shock me. it's not so far outside the realm of possibility where we see the fruit has not fallen far from the tree in the George Bush administration. Because for anyone who's paying attention, there are hints of the rise of fascism happening all around us every day. A new little piece of the puzzle comes into place. And I try not to be an alarmist. I try not to be a conspiracy theorist, though I do believe JFK was an inside job. But the evidence just keep rolling out in front of me. And when I heard over the weekend that Congressman Peter DeFazio was denied even seeing the documents contained in NSPD 51 in relation to disaster plans for this country when the next attack comes. And when I see things like the Military Commissions Act, when I read about the suspension of habeas corpus, when I find out that George Bush has signed an executive order giving him the power to take any of our properties if we disrupt progress in Iraq, when you look at all of these little pieces of the puzzle, it leads one to wonder, where are we headed? And for me, it's no longer a question of when there'll be another false flag attack in this country. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, it's no longer a question of if there'll be another false flag. It's a question of when. the best advice I've heard so far is to start looking for tests, you know, for these war game things going on. Because that's what happened during 9/11. That's what happened July 7th in London, the subway bombings. There were drills going on dealing with the exact circumstance that occurred. And as we learned last night, the odds of that are 1 in 40 tresadillion or whatever that number is, 40 zeros. I'll be right back. Hey, we're back. The Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. Let's get to some callers. First up is Frank in Bowman, Georgia, listening on Sirius Satellite. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Not too good. The country's been taken over.
Yep.
We cannot. I don't know what we can do. I told Mike last month that we had to take to the streets. What the hell can we do? Everything being taken over. You tell me. I don't know who you are, but I respect Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect what he stands for. He's a patriot. What can we do to take it over? He had said last month, that he's going to stand on a street corner, and I'm near Atlanta, and I will do that with him. What can we do? I'll do that with him. What can we do to take this country back over? We get run over by the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm lost.
I know. I share your frustration, Frank. I hear you, buddy. I hear you. You know, I've been recommending people just get after your representatives. Just hound them. Hound them and hound them. They're going to be off for the whole month of August. Just go and camp out in front of your representatives' offices and just, you know, drive them nuts on a daily basis.
Hey, I think you're going to take more than that.
Well, yeah.
I think you're going to be, I told Mike, you're going to take to the streets.
Yeah.
It's got out of hand. I cannot believe all this stuff is happening.
Well, it's got to be a lot more of us, Frank. We got to build our numbers, and we got to get the message out there, essentially. So that's where we're at. But you know, don't give up. That's my message today. Don't give up, because when we give up, that's when they really win. As long as we're fighting back, we got a chance.
I like Mike, and I have no idea why I had to call him tonight, but people. Take it to the streets. We have to. Mike said that we have to.
All right. Thanks, brother.
That's it.
All right. We got to organize. Thanks, Frank. Thanks for call. Hang in there, buddy. Man, I hear his frustration, and I share it. You know, be safe. Do it smart. But get out there and make yourself heard. Barbara in Cave Creek, you're next.
Hi.
Hey, Barb. How you doing?
Frank could use some coffee. Okay, back to, I've been saying this for years. I mean, since the 70s. I've been saying this since Nixon. And there's some interesting other places to go to get some information. In fact, the History Channel had a documentary on, I think I talked about it, about the second book that was discovered in 1958, and that was dictated supposedly by Hitler. The thing that people need to know is that, and there's also more stuff in, there's also an article, Bush Nazi Family Alliance, mm-hmm. from John Buchanan. There's a lot of information if you Google it. And the connections between Hitler and the Bush family.
Right. Prescott Bush, particularly, was a major financier.
And there was
the Bush
a German financier, mm-hmm. and all these people who were connected to each other,
yep.
including the Harrimans. So, I mean, this is. But in the second book they were talking about on History Channel, Hitler wanted. Or whoever these guys who were really dictating it, because Hitler had nothing. He was the front guy.
Mm-hmm.
Continuous war. He thought this is what he wanted to do to the United States. He wanted to make sure that there was continuous war.
Mm-hmm.
He he thought the United States would go along with him, and he thought his allies would be England and Italy. He felt that his philosophy, this was written in the 1920s, mm-hmm. after he wrote Mein Kampf. And he wanted to attack first and get the resources out of a country first,
mm-hmm.
Before any, but you know, preemptive war. He believed that the United States was too independent, and he didn't like the fact that we were independent.
Hmm.
And all of these things that are going on right now, we really need to take a look at the fact, and I have my little phrase, Bush lied, Bush should be tried, Bush is working for the other side. And tonight, I had Dennis Cardoza, 18th Congressional District, I happened to catch him, and he was giving a speech in Congress, and he was really angry because the Republicans are trying to destroy the small farmers,
mm-hmm.
and they're for the oil companies and the large farming conglomerates, and they want to destroy our farming system. He was just livid, and the Republicans are in the background. They won't be quiet, and they're trying to call them to order, and they won't. And they keep booing him,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about the fact that we can't be importing our food. We're going to be an importer of everything, and that was what Hitler's plan was,
right.
to keep the United States. So. It wasn't Hitler's plan. It was the Bush's plan. It was Thyssen's plan. It was this whole conglomerate of people in back into the 1920s who caused the drop of the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
That was manipulated. All of this has been manipulated for these lunatics who want to take over. And I think the solution, this is them getting back at World War II. And they have been doing it slowly but surely. They were behind Kennedy. They've been behind all of this all along.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to look at the whole picture and not forget what's going on with history. That's a great place to start.
Right. Well, there are so many distractions in our everyday life. Have you seen Zeitgeist yet?
I haven't. Yeah, I've seen like parts of it.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily need to, but
you definitely need to see it. It ties in a lot of these separate little pieces that I think a lot of us know about and have heard about, and it ties it in a really concise package. And I definitely recommend.
Okay,
it to anybody.
I will definitely see it. There's also a part of your thing with the fascist coup overthrow. I think I sent you this piece about General Smedley Butler.
Smedley Butler, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who infiltrated, and he's
mm-hmm.
the one who found out that. What these guys were actually up to.
Yeah, great book, War is a Racket, by him. Thanks for your call, Barbara.
Great, thanks.
Take care. I got time for another call before the break, I believe. Let's go to George in Phoenix. Listen, on right here on KPHX. Hey, George, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Doug. Jeff, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, first of all, I want to say that to Mike Malloy, you better get ready, you better get better. And I'm listening to you on the internet.
All right.
Yeah, I just barely hooked it up today, so I'll be emailing people and stuff. So,
all right.
We have the general just the other day come on and said again another one of those general puppets, and said that we're not losing as many people, you know, that the military of our own, you know, in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
that we're not losing as many, and we are. I mean, you know. Lie upon lie upon lie. If George Bush would tell the truth right now, I would not believe him. You know, I mean, if he
right.
really, if he comes out and says, well, you know, this, I can't, we cannot believe this. But there are crooks and liars. And you know, you hear about a terrorist that attacked we've been attacked. We already been attacked. You heard about the explosion in Iraq, right, by the gas companies?
Right, right.
I mean,
yeah.
We have a, I think we have a, an average of one or two explosions every month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that they're doing that. They're bombing us with their, you know, forget the Homeland Security. I mean, you know, we've got to start doing things right here, too. You know, we're getting poisoned by the food we eat, by the air we breathe, by the water we drink.
It's coming at us from a lot of directions, and we thought we had a government that was supposed to oversee these things for us, that was supposed to inspect our food. We pay taxes for an FDA. We pay to, you know, exactly. We're supposed to have these organizations that protect our water and our air, and Bush has turned it all over to the companies that are causing the problems for oversight.
Nothing, like you said, nothing is surprising me anymore. And
yeah.
You know what the bad thing about it is, Jeff, that we're getting immune.
Yep.
We're getting immune to all those lies, you know,
yep.
and what they're doing, you know.
Yep.
Hey, before I go, I want to tell you, I saw a cycle. Thanks to you guys. Man, it's unbelievable. But, you know, the only thing that I hear in the comments that I hear from people,
mm-hmm.
they do not mention Cuba, which is really quite an embarrassment that a country that's run by a dictator has a better health.
The people are better. That our rescue workers from 9/11
right.
were able to go in and get health care in Havana, Cuba, that they're denied in this country. Yeah, it's pretty shameful.
And I suggest to people that when they mention cycle, mention Cuba.
Yeah.
That really put, you know, put some pressure on them. Cuba.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right.
Thanks, George. Take care, buddy. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Get room for lots more calls. 1-800-989-1480. Stick around. We are back. Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. I'm going out on the Sirius and XM. Hey, Matthew Rothschild. He runs the Progressive. He's up there in Madison, Wisconsin. Has a new book out, and it's called You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. It was put out by The New Press. You can find it, I guess, just earlier this week, Alternet put out an excerpt of the book. And it just kind of goes through five ways Bush's era of repression has stolen your liberties since 9/11. First of which are the Ashcroft raids. It says, just as the rounding up of 10,000 immigrants and radicals from 1918 to 1921 became known as the Palmer Raids after Attorney General A. Mitchell Palmer, so too should the roundups after September 11th be called the Ashcroft Raids. In the first 2 months after 9/11, the Ashcroft Raids had rounded up more than 1,182 people. The Justice Department stopped reporting numbers after that. Some were citizens, the majority were not. Ashcroft sent law enforcement agents all over the country to nab immigrants on the slightest offensive. As he told the U.S. Conference of Mayors on October 25th, "Let the terrorists among us be warned. If you overstay your visa, even by one day, we will arrest you. If you violate a local law, we will put you in jail and kept in custody as long as possible. We will use every available statute. We will seek every prosecutorial advantage." Go check out Rothschild's work. Great writer, really talented guy. Does some amazing stuff. And this is a great book. He'll be appearing on my program sometime in the very near future. Let's go to some phone callers. We have Armand in Florida. Welcome, Armand.
Thank you. You know, you bring up an interesting name.
Rothschild?
Rothschild,
that name?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that, do you know if he's connected
no.
to the...
No, he's not.
Okay. But are you aware that a lot of the banking families that financed Hitler are still going strong?
Oh, yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, what's this all really about?
Mm-hmm.
I think, if I'm correct, the top 20% own about 95% of all the wealth, and they hold 95% of all the debt we pay interest on.
Mm-hmm.
So they totally, collectively, the top 20% pretty well own the racket.
I don't know if it's if the number's that high. I don't know if it's 20%. I think it's a smaller number than that, actually.
Well, I think it's the top 20%, according to Ralph Nader's figures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the 50s, after World War II, in the early 50s, I think that I believe it was the top 40%, according to Ralph Nader, owned. I think it was 60% of the wealth. And now I really think, maybe I'm off a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think it's close to the top 20%. It's so egregious now that the top 20% owned 85 to 95% of the wealth.
Right.
So then you have to ask yourself, and first, I love your show.
Thank you.
And I really like your attitude, and I hope Mike's getting better because we really...
Yeah,
think a lot of him.
We miss him, that's for sure. No, I think he's feeling a lot better. You know, still he's taking some medication for the respiratory infection and also some stuff to try and help him knock him down and get him some sleep because
right.
it's pretty. I mean, you heard him Tuesday night; he could barely breathe. You know, so
right.
Yeah, but we're expecting him back for tomorrow night.
Okay, so the problem that I see going forward is for the. Time period, you know, like right now,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's kind of interesting when you look at the whole scheme economically and the way power works. And you understand in the mainstream media, I don't think anybody denies that, unfortunately, it's you can see the corporate control on, I can see it on Wolf Blitzer's face
mm-hmm.
and Lou Dobbs, and then O'Reilly, and the right and the left, and, you know, there's really not much left. But you know, you can see the mainstream media characters, and you can just see that, in my opinion, I think, and a lot of people would agree, that they're almost actors,
mm-hmm.
and they are.
Yeah, right.
And what they do is they skate back and forth, but they're both working for the same, you know, consolidating power that is down to, I think, what, the mainstream media is down to four big conglomerates now?
Right, I think four or five, yeah. And again, it's a big change is when the news divisions became profit centers for these networks, for the main networks. Obviously, cable
right.
is a whole different game. But forever, I mean, from the dawn of TV until the end of the Reagan years, the news divisions weren't expected to turn a profit. They were considered a public service. They were out there just trying to get information
to
the fourth estate, essentially that part of our equation that informs the populace. And that's changed quite dramatically. And they've become profit centers. And we've get now infotainment instead of news anymore. And that's
exactly.
why we get Michael yeah. Vick, and that's why we get Lindsay Lohan, and that's why all this is news now.
Well, I almost think it's becoming cynical too,
mm-hmm.
because when you watch them and they're professionals, you got to give them credit. They
right.
can they can really distort reality
mm-hmm.
for the benefit of their corporate handlers and owners. And you watch them, and what's cynical, I think, is like after they gloss over a story and they don't go to the depth that the internet does. that educates us, you know, about the complications of an issue, and then you'll see the pharmaceutical ads and everything. But can I finish my point after the break, or can you hold me?
You know, I got a full board of callers and more people emailing me because I'm trying to get in, so make it real quick.
In 15 seconds, it's interesting because we really do have a true democracy that's ensuing on the Internet. At the same time, we have a totalitarian, corrupt corporate state for all practical purposes has the hammer.
Thanks, Armin. And it might only be a matter of time. I know, something about Pink Floyd done by a brass quartet always tickles me. I never tire of hearing that song. Hey, it's the Molloy Show right here on Nova M. I'm Jeff Farias sitting in for Mike tonight. I've been called Mike tonight like three different times. It was bizarre. It was very strange. Anyway, my email is jeff@jefffarias.com. If you can't get through, I had a full board of callers since I started. So if you can't get through and you wanted to get a message to me, jeff@jefffarias.com. That's F-A-R-I-A-S. And don't be surprised by three F's in a row in the jefffarias.com. I did get an email, and this one comes from Mickey. It says, thanks for filling in for Mike. Good show as usual. Thought you might find this interesting. It's a link to a BBC article. And it says, by the way, I hear you like poetry. This is a bit dark, but you might like it. I wrote it about Iraq. So let me share this with you. It's called X Country. There is nothing more. Silt and smoke and red mist. Formerly, ex-human in ex-park where he-she picnicked while watching his-her ex-children playing. Shock and awe drip from soggy, leathered, aging faces of ex-families as they search for ex-loved ones, ex-doctors, ex-taxi drivers, ex-electricians, ex-citizens, unable to identify ex-person A or B, C, D, etc. Just blood-soaked rubble and ash and toys and meat where ex-bomb was dropped and ex-soldiers fought ex-insurgents on ex-day. Trying to rub out the ex in their lives on their faces with their hands, exhausted ex-parents and ex-friends, return to ex-houses on ex-streets, trying to exist, and exhume their ex-country. That was from Mickey. Thanks, Mickey. Let's take a call. Let's go to Bob in San Mateo, California, listening on the Quake. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, you know, there's a book called Saving Private Power. And that had to do with the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. We got fed a whole line of stuff from all those war movies when we were kids, you know.
Right, the John Wayne and the Audie Murphy movies.
Well, you know, E. Howard Hunt wrote 50 novels, okay? Mm-hmm. The guy who was a Watergate burglar. Well, he was apparently in Dallas the day Jack Kennedy was killed. Mm-hmm. But these CIA guys, they write a revised story about kind of a mind control thing, and we're conditioned to believe we're always the good guys. And I think a lot of the problem is the mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to get our hands on the levers and buttons of government and have a come to the Constitution meeting. Everybody get the Constitution out and read it and get back to greenbacks, get rid of the corporate banksters. There's a plan to put greenbacks in circulation within 9 months to 2 years and get off the Federal Reserve notes. But we've got a whole big scam going on. Everywhere you read the word war, think obscene scam. I mean, this is what Smedley Butler talked about.
Right, war is a racket, yeah.
You betcha. And everywhere, the war on cancer, Otto Warburg back in the 20s discovered four major conditions that all cancers need to exist. Now, if you understand that much about cancer in the 1920s, you can certainly remediate it. And the conditions were a low oxygen content in the cell, a low enzyme content in the cell, a low electrical potential between the cell membranes, and an acid pH. And they know that if they maintain alkalinity with magnesium, calcium, and potassium, they can increase the oxygen levels by 30%. So this whole petrochemical pharmaceutical paradigm is BS. And that's just the war on cancer. The war on drugs has to do with a huge police state.
Right.
They take something that's not criminal in and of itself. It's a medical issue, and has to do more with compulsions and addictions. We understand a lot more about that stuff. They sell something like it's crack nicotine. It's ammonia and nicotine. It goes right into your bloodstream and right into your blood. Bang, just like crack cocaine does.
Right.
But
they add those chemicals to the cigarettes to make them more addictive, to make the buzz more more powerful and quicker.
I used to hold tobacco as a summer job when I was really young. My first job, I was about 14, and you know, there was 26 chemicals that went in onto the tobacco plant and agriculture before it even got to the factory. Okay? So the thing is that those are two of the issues.
Well, interesting. You brought up the war on drugs, and that was the first. That was the first time I was aware that there was some collusion between the government and the mainstream media. Because I remember distinctly, I was living in New York at the time, and just night after night, the network news were showing just all these horror stories of you know, drug-related homicides and police raids and all these just, you know, just terrifying stuff having to do with the drug trade in this country. At the end of a three-week period of nonstop, they run a poll saying, what's the greatest concern among American people? And surprise, surprise, it was drugs in America. And then Reagan launched this huge war on drugs, which is essentially a war on brown people.
Nixon instituted the war on cancer, so...
Right.
But the last big war here is the war on terror. I mean,
right.
In and of itself, war is terror. How can you have war on a tactic?
Right.
Terror is a tactic, okay?
It's a slogan,
Exactly.
It's a marketing slogan.
So when you get a bunch of guys who fraudulently get into high political office under a pretext, and their main credo, I mean, this is a big new Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor. These clowns are in the background all the time, and when we allegedly vote for somebody, now they not only tell you who to vote for, now they tell you how you voted. It's called faith-based voting. They get this guy in there, and they say, oh, this is your national security advisor. Pick this guy, pick that guy. Much like when Ronnie Reagan was told, pick George Bush to be your vice president, and 2 months after he's inaugurated, guess what? He gets shot by a close family friend of the Hinckleys, of the Bushes,
right, the Hinckleys.
John Hinckley.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, written in 1997, says three times, and he's advocating a war in Eurasia to control labor and markets and resources, and he says three times, a catastrophe on the order of Pearl Harbor needs to occur within the United States in order to galvanize the American people into an imperial mobilization, democracy being inimical to imperialism. Now, that's not the PNAC credo. They've got the same thing going on. But Jeb Bush signed on to that, and right after 9/11, he went around to all the police stations in Florida and rounded up all the information and evidence about the alleged hijackers into a Ryder truck, drove it onto a C-130 or whatever big aircraft, and disappeared. It disappeared into the friendly skies. There's a reason why Bush and Cheney went together to Congress and said, "Do not investigate 9/11."
Right. And it took the Jersey Girls to actually get the 9/11 Commission, which again was fairly fraudulent as well, by its omission.
Guess what, listeners? We need a full-scale investigation of 9/11, including investigation of U.S. Air Force training exercises involving live fly hijackings of commercial airliners with planes crashing into buildings that Richard B. Cheney was conducting that day, and the terror training exercises involving. Well, I'll put it this way. They found an Israeli van associated with Indigo Messaging Company that had traces of anthrax and explosives in it. We need to investigate that thoroughly, and we also need to investigate the controlled demolition of the World Trade Tower complex. And if you go to YouTube and type in WTC 9/11 bombs, you will see firefighters and police standing on the streets while bombs are going off. There is overwhelming mountain of evidence that 9/11 was an inside job. Who set the explosives in Building 7? Building 7 collapsed into its own footprint. Okay,
right.
we're not just joking around here. Okay, we were scared, we were terrified, we were terrorized by this criminal clique that got into office. Now it's time to stand up, sharpen the sharp pointy things, to say, listen, drag those SOBs out of the office in chains. And put them where they belong in Guantanamo. Separate them. Get all the information you can out of each one of them and put the thing together. We want constitutional government.
Thanks for your call, Bob. Gonna take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Molloy Show right here on Nova M. Stick around. We are back. That damn little red button throws me every time. Hey, it's the Mike Molloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. I got a full board of callers here, so if you want, you can drop me an email, jeff@jefferish.com. You guys see the story on Tillman? Apparently, three-star general... Philip Kenzinger, he's going to be cut down. He's going to lose a star, apparently, which is sad in and of itself. But I think it's a big cut in pay as well. But he's basically the Lieutenant General, Philip Kenzinger, is going to be the fall guy for this whole Pat Tillman thing. He was the one who basically was, apparently, they're saying, involved in... putting that fake story about Tillman's death out there and running with it. I doubt it ended with him. But for now, he's the fall guy. I don't know if you can get a pardon from George Bush to get your third star back, but it wouldn't surprise me down the road. Let's go to Vincent in San Diego. Listen on KLSD in beautiful San Diego. Hey, Vincent. Hey there.
Hello?
Hey, Vincent, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, have you read a book called The Franklin Cover-Up by former state senator John DeCamp?
No, I'm not familiar with that book. What's it about?
Oh, it's about the Franklin Federal Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska, that this guy named Lawrence E. King, he sang the national anthem at the 84 and 88 Republican conventions. He was a black guy. He... ran this credit union where $40 million were missing.
Wow.
So the state started an investigation into it, and it turned up some unbelievable stuff. I mean, a former director of our CIA was killed because of this book, actually.
Wow.
Although he accidentally drowned after going out for a midnight canoe ride on the storm. You see, he was good friends with John DeCamp. They met over in Vietnam. When Colby was his official position was the deputy ambassador to South Vietnam, but he was really the CIA station chief.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he met John DeCamp. John DeCamp ran for state senate while he was still in Vietnam, was a state senator for 16 years, and then he got hired by the committee. He was a Republican, too. So the Nebraska legislature, they formed a committee. And the head of the committee was a corn farmer, Republican, named Lawrence Schmidt. He was told right off the bat, do not investigate the Franklin Federal Credit Union. if you're a good Republican, you will not investigate it. Well, they pressed forward in their investigation, and it's unbelievable, this stuff. I mean, basically what it deals with is a CIA homosexual pedophile blackmail operation, and it's just crazy. Right. All the people connected to it who have died, and I'm really surprised this John DeCamp, who's still an attorney in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm amazed that he's still alive. But
wow,
like I said, I mean, and it goes. George Bush is named in this book.
Jeez.
Not the current president, the former one. Mm-hmm. He's named as having attended parties where children were provided, and it's just, like I said, it's unbelievable.
Wow, I'll have to check that. What's the book called again?
It's called The Franklin Cover-Up. You can only get it through his law offices, but I believe that somebody scanned a PDF. It's on the Los Angeles Indie Media website. They have a link to it.
Cool. Hey, thanks for the heads up on that. I'm gonna try and track that one down. Appreciate it, Vincent. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Let's go to Tim in Phoenix. Tim, you're on the air. Tim-o.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, well, I was just listening to the last talker and he got cut off. What happened with that story?
Oh, he's I guess there must be a time delay. Basically, he was just saying the book's called The Franklin Cover-Up by John DeCamp. We can find snippets of it online. You can get it from the guy's website. But that was basically saying that it tied in George Bush and CIA money laundering, child sex rings, all kinds of startling stuff.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I'm a first-time caller. I've actually never heard the show before. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I live in Dallas.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome to Phoenix.
Yeah, they come out here about once a month for work and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, if you know, let's say we're living in the 1800s, and I owned a lot of acres, and I was a farmer and raised cattle and things like that, and you also had quite a few acres, maybe 100 miles away or so, doing the same thing, you know, eking out a living.
Right.
And, you know, the weather gods were good to me this year, and I had abundance of rain, my crops grew well, and you know, I had a lot of sheep, and in your farmland, not so much rain. You kind of had a drought, and you weren't doing too well. Would you be deserving of any of my crops and cattle and things like that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, I guess I'm calling because, you know, I've heard a couple of callers in here, and they keep saying the world is...
Hang on, Tim. I got to go to a break. Let me bring you up back on the other side. All right. I'd like to flesh this out a little. We'll be right back. Back. It's the Molloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Got a full board of callers. If you want to get a message to me, the best way is probably via email, jeff@jefffarias.com. We're talking with Tim, who's here in Phoenix, but he's from Dallas, here in business. So, Tim, so where are we going with this? We both got a big farm. Yours succeeded. Mine failed.
Well, no, it's not that you didn't fail. It's just that year you had a drought.
Right. Okay.
It's just the point that I guess the analogy is, you know, all three of the major Democratic candidates are all proposing some kind of, you know, socialized medicine, health care.
Right.
And I guess I have an issue with just government just seems to keep growing in size and size and taking and taking and taking, and I'm having a problem with that.
But you don't have a problem with the pharmaceutical companies or the insurance companies or the medical providers taking and taking and taking and not actually providing the services they're taking money for.
Well, you know, I tend to agree. They're well overpaid. My wife works in pharmaceuticals. She does drug research. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest problems we have is they're trying to find a drug that will help with every little condition. You have a pinky toe that hurts, they're going to find a drug to fix it with.
And RLS, and yeah, right.
Yeah, and that all gets built in the system, so mm-hmm. costs keep just going out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is the government doesn't do anything right. And if they socialize medicine...
Well, you know what? They do Medicare pretty well. And that is essentially a form of socialized medicine. It just applies to the elderly for the most part and the disabled. But it's one of the more successful social programs that have ever been tried.
Yeah, but they still have issues. I mean, I agree it's a pretty good program, but they still have issues with it. And you hear about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. If you socialize a whole country, I mean,
we got a lot of models to look at. Have you seen Sicko yet?
No, I haven't.
You should check it out. I know a lot of people, particularly who aren't on the left, have some problems with Michael Moore personally, but you should really check it out. It's not a left or right article. Actually, I think the politician who ends up looking worst in the whole film is probably Hillary Clinton.
That's hard to believe.
Well, he starts off kind of talking about how she tried to bring socialized medicine to the country in the early days of the Clinton presidency, and how since then she's the number two recipient of big pharmaceutical money.
Yeah, you know, I guess the problem is, you know, whether they did something or not, whether it worked or not, it's still going to end up costing me a lot more out of pocket than.
Not really, because you won't have to pay these exorbitant health insurance costs anymore. If you were paying just what you pay in health insurance into taxes, it'll be a fraction of that to have medical care for everyone.
Do they have a model that works? I mean,
Sure. Yeah, the Canadian. Actually, Moore does this. He goes to Canada. He goes to France. He goes to England and even Cuba to look at the model. I mean, the model we have is unique to this country. Every other major industrialized country has a medical socialized medicine, and that's why GM's failing. That's why Ford is failing, because it costs them $1,800 per car in medical expenses.
Yeah, we can talk about the airline
industry
as well.
Right, and they can't compete with the Germans or the Japanese or other people who are making these cars where their workers have health care and their productivity goes way up.
I guess with going to Canada, though, some of the issues they have is you want to see a doctor, you have to wait.
Not true.
I have friends that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – I can make an appointment for my sick one tomorrow. Or, you know, today, and they'll see me either today or tomorrow.
Well, tell me who your doctor is, because I don't have that kind of treatment through our...
Dr. Thornberg in Mansfield, Texas. She's a great doctor.
Right. Well, you're in a big town or a small town?
It's actually between Dallas, Fort Worth, but it's a small town
with
2,000 people.
Yeah, but here in Phoenix, it takes a while to see a doctor. My wife just had some surgery over the winter, and it was sort of like the waits in between, appointments. It was a month at a time.
Okay, that's all I really had to talk about.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Bye.
Who's next? Looks like my buddy Zelf here in Phoenix on KPHX. Hey, Zelf, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Jeff. Good job on the show.
Thanks.
I don't know whether you caught the story or whether you talked about it earlier about the FEMA trailers that were contaminated with formaldehyde.
I have heard about this story. You know, obviously with Sarge around, I get to hear almost anything related to the Gulf Coast. He's really on top of all of that stuff. And I heard a little bit about it. They were contaminated with formaldehyde, and then they're fill me in. What are they trying to do with these trailers now? They're trying to sell them, right?
Right. And well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But the trouble is they had dangerously high levels of formaldehyde, which is of course a carcinogen, causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told not to take any samples because if they discovered that it was in fact dangerous, then they'd be responsible. And so that's the beginning of the scandal. But guess where these FEMA trailers are winding up?
Where?
Well, here in Arizona.
Oh, you're kidding.
Because, you know, there's a copper mining boom here. A lot of the little towns like Clifton and Globe and Morenci, they don't have housing. And now that the copper price has surged, it's profitable to mine, to work these mines again,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the housing there. And this is from the Arizona Republic, July 12, 2007. This is before the thing with the formaldehyde came out.
Mm-hmm.
And says one copper company, Phelps Dodge, has been forced to buy up hundreds of so-called Katrina trailers from FEMA to house workers for its mines in Morenci and Safford.
Oh my gosh.
And so my question is, putting two and two together, and if we had a real media in this country, if for example, the Arizona Republic would actually do investigative reporting, they might want to look into whether copper miners are being housed in these contaminated trailers.
Wow, unbelievable. I'd never been to Morenci before, and over Memorial Day, we were up in Greer and decided to come down, I think it's 191, it's curvy mountain road, gorgeous. I mean, it was just one of the most, and that's saying a lot for Arizona because there are a lot of beautiful drives out here in Arizona, one of the most beautiful drives I've ever been on. And just as we were getting down near, we were getting close to Globe, whatever that town is down there, we came through Morenci, and all of a sudden you go from just these beautiful mountains to these just stripped. It was so incredibly just ugly, and I looked over, and both Tammy and I just started welling up. It was just the saddest thing, and it reminded me of that scene in Dances with Wolves, where the he's out there with the wolf dancer guy. He's out there with the Sioux, and they come across this herd of buffalo that have been slaughtered and just had their tongues ripped, their skins taken, laying there. And I had that same just overwhelming sense of sadness, and like, oh my God, look at what they've done to this beautiful countryside. And I understand mining is a business, and it's had a big role in the growth of this state. But God, it's so incredible to see it, you know, firsthand.
Well, it's funny. About 10 years ago, I had a chance to meet with an economist was connected with the mining industry. And he said, oh, there's no way that these mines will ever be profitable again. Copper price would have to go ridiculously high for this ever to be profitable because the grade of ore is so low there. Well, guess what? It went that high. And these are boom towns now.
Yeah.
And there's no place... They've got a lot of work for miners there, but there's no place for them to live. So what do? They bring in
FEMA
these Katrina trailers.
Jesus.
And do you think any of our local media will bother to look into this? I don't think so.
Not if they want to have a job.
Not too good to go up against Phelps Dodge,
right,
somebody really ought to look into this, Jeff.
Wow. Man, thanks for filling me in. Are you putting a post up on your website?
No, Jeff. Unfortunately, I'm in the middle of moving right now. I should be packing boxes right at this moment.
I'm glad you kept your radio out.
So yeah, that's going to be the last thing I pack.
All right. Oh man, wow.
But I got to get back to packing here.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Myself.
Appreciate that. Wow. FEMA trailers coming to Arizona to house the miners down in Morenci. Unbelievable. That's about par for the course, you know. We are the nation's dumping ground. Wow. All right, let's go to our friend Edie in Montgomery, Alabama, listening via internet. Hey, Edie, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Jeff. I hope you got a couple of minutes because I got some things to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I had some other things to say, but this guy that called in about the so-called socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that will work is basically Medicare for all, which would be a single-payer plan.
Right.
And we need to stay on that subject. Single-payer, not socialized, you know, not universal, single-payer. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, what Hillary Clinton tried when she was first lady was not socialized medicine. What it was she was bringing these insurance companies in on it. She was just trying to work out something with them that would cut some of us some slack, basically, where more of us could afford to buy it. And she was built. We saw how she was vilified for that.
Right.
But what Dennis Kucinich and what Michael Moore are talking about is single-payer coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. The money that people would save by not having to pay all this money every month and then co-payments and all that.
Right.
Would way outweigh any little extra taxes they might pay.
Mm-hmm.
And when my ex-husband died in 91, and our son, I think I might have told you about him, he was mentally handicapped.
Right.
And in his early 20s, he became paranoid schizophrenic. Well, if his father had not worked and paid into Social Security all of his life, I don't know what would have become of my little family. But because it was there, And because my son had medical care through Medicare and Medicaid and an income, I was able to be with him and take care of him until he died last year suddenly of a blood clot, which refuses to kill Dick Cheney, killed my boy when he was 38 years old.
Gosh.
You know, I went in one day to ask him what he wanted for lunch, and he was dead.
My God.
That's how quick they work. It killed my brother when he was 26. So anybody that's so afraid that the health care for all of us, and I have none, by the way. I'm disabled, can't work. If it wasn't for the generosity of my sister and her husband and my daughter, which takes all three of them just to, so I have a place to lay my head, I'd be in the street or dead. So, if you know, all these people that are so afraid they might have to pay an extra dime, which it wouldn't even come to that, it, you know, well, I hope they're happy now because my son is no longer getting anything from the government.
Wow.
And I didn't mean to take it out on you, Jeff. It just pisses me off.
No, I hear you. It is frustrating. And I wish everybody could just see this film. And, you know, put aside that it's Michael Moore, whether you like Moore or not. It's an incredibly powerful film, and it leads you to a pretty stark conclusion that it's just greed that is killing people in this country.
Of course it is. Well, my pal Daryl at Democracy Interactive, he's going to try, and I don't know what connection he's got, but he thinks he can get me a copy somewhere. Because I can't get out to see it.
Oh, I can get you a copy.
You can?
Yeah, yeah. Email me your address. I'll put a copy in the mail tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Edie. I gotta take a break.
Bye.
Yeah, we'll get that done. We'll be right back after these messages. Stick around, folks. We're back. It's the Molloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Your first choice for all your pirating needs. I raised a few hackles with my comment there to Edie at the end there. Let's go to Nancy here in Phoenix on KPHX. Nancy, welcome.
Hi, Jeff. I wanted to follow up on Zelf's call about
the trailers?
Formaldehyde and the trailers. You're going to love this. The government, of course, in the beginning, FEMA just said there wasn't any formaldehyde, but then, of course, the test came back positive. And you know what their solution was?
What?
Mm-hmm. Open the windows.
Mm.
That good?
Yep.
You like that? That's George Bush's FEMA.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to kind of follow up, and I didn't hear the whole conversation with Barb of Cave Creek, but on Smedley Butler's War is a Racket, a book I would recommend to everybody listening. And Bobby had called me earlier this evening about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was designated to lead a mercenary corporate militia to overtake the government in a fascist plot in 1935. And some of the companies that were, a lot of them Wall Street bankers that were behind this were J.P. Morgan, the American Liberty League, and several heads of the American Legion. And what happened was Smedley Butler, who was very intelligent and knew what was going on, blew their cover, and testified in front of Congress. And he testified that one of the conversations he had with Gerald McGuire, in which the latter is alleged to have suggested the formation of a fascist army under the leadership of General Butler. But this is interesting. He helped to destroy that in the mid-30s. But how long did that last? In the 1960s, and when people call and say there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, they're all bad guys, listen to this, please. All four primary liberal leaders were assassinated in the 60s. All four primary liberal leaders were assassinated. In the mid-90s, a so-called Democratic president turned back the Bill of Rights and Constitution with a multitude of crime bills. But, and in the year 2000, Jim Crow laws were revived, and a presidential election was swayed by disallowing over 50,000 eligible African Americans to vote in the state of Florida.
Right.
So the point is this is history repeating itself. And the point is that the people who are listening need to really get active and turn their discontent into activism. And as you always suggest, call. And I know people say it doesn't do any good. Yes, it does, because your silence gives power to the Bush administration. That's what they want.
Yep.
They want obedience and they want silence. And silence is tacit approval, and we really, really need not to be silent, no matter how angry we are.
Excellent point, Nancy. I do, again, want to urge people, organize in August. Your representatives will be back in their home districts. They'll be holding town halls. They'll be holding public meetings. We can go out and get at them, and you can also just go to their offices and try and make appointments to get in and talk to them. You'll have more luck if you go in as a group. Four or five band together and decide
exactly.
to go in and tell your representative where you stand.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so
Nancy.
Much. Bye.
Bye. We're going to take another break here. Be back with more of your phone calls right after these important messages. Back, Molloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network, entering our last hour. Big oil company profits are in. ExxonMobil, where is it, $10.4 billion? Shell even showed a profit, an increase, even though they had all kinds of problems in the fields, in the drilling. Massive, massive profits. Chevron, ConocoPhillips. Massive, massive profits. BP, all of these turning massive, massive profits. Crude oil is about to go up again. Why are we at war again? Let's take some phone calls. Steve in Phoenix. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Hey, I'm a little nervous.
About what?
Well, I've never called a station before.
Oh, it's easy.
I've been listening about 6 months, and I heard your little dust up with that regarding your bet.
Yeah.
Can I get in on that bet?
Yeah, sure. What do you want?
Well, I'm on your website.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I see here in quotes, Bush says God told him to invade.
Uh-huh.
You've got all these links here.
Right.
Now, I scoured these links, and what you have in those quotation marks does not appear in any one of these links.
What?
What you have in those quotation marks does not appear in one of the links you've got on your website. I looked at them.
You looked at the Washington Post story, and that was what the bet was about. He said it never appeared in the Washington
right.
Post.
Well, not only that.
That Bush had said God told him to invade.
It does not. Those words do not appear. Now, here's another thing.
Okay. What are the words? Tell the people what are the words that do appear.
I'll tell you in a second. But the other thing that you don't mention is that the president, this is not the Washington Post reporter or a videotape saying this. This is a third party. This is three times removed of quoting someone in a meeting that...
Who are they quoting?
They're quoting some Palestinian leader in a meeting.
Mahmoud Abbas.
Right.
The person that our government is right, officially working with and
right.
spending billions of dollars with.
Right.
This isn't
now,
just some guy out
right.
there. Okay.
But here's something else you didn't say.
Uh-huh.
You didn't say, first of all, that... The White House vehemently denies it.
Oh, my God.
Wait a second,
it can't be true if they're denying it.
Hold on a second. Hold mm-hmm. on a second. And then it also was interpreted from Arabic and the interpretation. But nowhere in any of these articles does what you have in quotes appear. So I'm going to ask you, as a man, are you going to pay that bet?
As a man? Wow, you're challenging my manhood? Is that what you're after here tonight, Steve? No, what I said on the air is it has been reported from Palestinian officials that George Bush says God told him to invade, and it has been reported in the mainstream media. That was my argument with your friend
right.
Phil the other
right.
night. And he says, I'll bet you $10,000 that
right.
never appeared in the Washington Post. And
right.
if you go to my website, the link is there.
Right, and I'll tell you what I'll do. If you find the words... That are in your quotation.
I was quoting myself.
Right.
God said, George Bush said God told him to invade.
Right. And if those are in any of those articles.
Yeah, right. We're going to parse exact words, right?
No,
there's no paraphrasing in America. Everybody uses the exact frame words. That's what you're trying to wangle this bet on?
Wait a minute. Now, I'm not going to say if there's a comma missing or if it's a the or an and. But those words that you have...
What Phil's bet was for me was right. that never appeared in the Washington Post.
Right.
He says, I'll bet you $10,000
right.
that story, not those words,
right.
that story never
no,
appeared in the Washington
no,
Post. You're going to try and get me because I didn't
no.
take the exact quotation,
no, it's not, it's
clip
not
and print it
exact.
In the headline of my
no.
post?
You've
got to be freaking kidding me,
you're
Steve.
You're the one... Quotation marks are a quote. Now, you misquoted the article. That's what you did, Jim.
The quotation for what I said. I was quoting my. This is what I said. The quotation marks referred to what I said.
Right, but on your website, it has them in quotation marks, and then you cite the links, and it doesn't say that in any of those links.
You are so.
And now you're
this is the most ridiculous conversation I've ever had on
right,
the air.
Because you made a bet and you're not living up to it.
Steve, are you running for mayor by any chance?
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do this? Why uh-huh. don't you guys both put the money in escrow and let an arbitrator decide who's right?
can you be our arbitrator, Steve?
No. We'll hire a mediator in Phoenix. As a matter of fact, we'll let you pick it.
Uh-huh. An arbitrator. That's beautiful.
Why didn't you say in your message that George Bush denied saying it?
And what are you talking about?
Your point was that he's going around saying, and he was proud of the fact that God told him to, as you say, invade, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why then, if he's so proud of it, would he deny it?
Because I don't think he ever expected it to become public.
But it's
something he told to Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of Palestine.
But they didn't even say that he said what you said. They didn't say that he said God told him to invade.
Yes,
you keep laughing, but you can't find it in there.
You're the most ridiculous person I've ever
right,
spoken
because,
to on the radio.
Because you're embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed at all.
You should
I'm
be.
Not embarrassed at all.
You got caught in a lie.
I'm not in a lie. You're a joke. Unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well,
find it in there where it says what you put in quotation marks.
What I put in, I was quoting myself, you jackass. You haven't figured that out yet? I said, Bush says God told him to invade. That was the debate. That's what I put in quotation marks. That was our argument. This idiot's going to try and come up here and parse information with me on this? You got to be kidding me. See what I got to put up with? Let's go to Jake in Arcata, California, listening on KGOE. Jake, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I didn't realize until now that David Vitter called your program.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Senator Vitter should go back to wearing diapers and visiting hookers, you know. This right-wing guy is throwing stones when he lives in a glass house, which is what these Republican hypocrites do. I mean, who's this guy to argue with you about this small, tiny issue of rhetoric?
Right.
When he's supporting a president who, first of all, was not elected in the first place, stole the election, you know, sat on his butt while 9/11 happened. You know, he took a month vacation after the CIA warned him about bin Laden's attack. And then we watched, you know, the Iraq debacle, Hurricane Katrina. They don't do anything to save all the people drowning in New Orleans. Every single thing the Bush administration has done has been a catastrophe. And these right-wing Republicans are still going to support this administration?
Yep.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And just look at the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. I mean, this guy is committing perjury and obstruction of justice blatantly. And these Republican senators, they don't want to hold a vote of no confidence. They're blocking it. They're filibustering the vote. Let's have a vote of no confidence. I said we call these Republican senators, Arizona, for instance, McCain, John McCain and John Kyle, call them up and tell them that Alberto Gonzalez is a liar and does not belong in the job of Attorney General, and tell them to let the vote go forward in the Senate. And if the Senate says we have no confidence in Gonzalez, then he should resign.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's remarkable. I just love the John Stewart take on the whole thing. You know, mommy, why is the lying man in charge of the law? I mean, it kind of takes it to its most basic baseline. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. How can anybody, I mean, even in the eyes of a child, how can anyone justify the fact that the person in the highest legal authority in this country is a bold-faced liar that everyone has seen on television lying? You know?
Well, yeah, Gonzalez is just fitting in with the superiors, Bush and Cheney.
Yeah,
I mean, hell,
yeah.
Bush is out there saying, still to this day, he's saying that the people responsible for 9/11 are the people we're fighting in Iraq.
Right.
There
yeah.
wasn't a single Iraqi hijacker. Yeah. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Our own CIA said that.
Yeah.
And Bush still lies to the public every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time for impeachment. These people got to go.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Thanks for your call, Jake.
Thanks.
Who's up next? We got Bruce listening on the internet over there. We got a break. There we go. That's why Ian's shaking his head at me. Don't take another call. We're on break. We're going to take a break. We'll get back with lots more of your phone calls. Just don't put quotations around anything I say and force me to repeat those exact same words every time. Did anyone figure that out? My God. That's how desperate they've become these days.
Feeling like I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall. I call a holster that is empty, just a gun to the head. I am a holy roller, I'm playing Russian roulette. I've been told gambling's a sin.
Stop the show. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. Oh, so get on board. There is a purpose. A running key.
Hey, we're back.
There is a captain.
The Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I think I'm just going to surf the wave of callers from here on out. Let's go to Bruce on the internet in California. Hey, Bruce. Thanks for sticking around.
How are you doing?
Good.
A couple things. First of all, on the FDR coup situation, that was something that literally shocked the hell out of me when I first saw it, first found out about it about maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I consider myself to be an educated person, well-read, knowledgeable. I'm a history buff. And I could not believe my eyes when I first encountered information about this. It was just like, you know, it's beyond any comprehension. I've got a very good link that for readers that would be helpful. It's a little awkward to read. You know how some links are not exactly easy. I don't know if you want me to read it or if you want me to email it to you and you can post it or whatever.
Yeah, please email it to me in either case.
And you can give me your email address when we're finished. But basically, you know, it's kind of it's a really well written and very clearly explanatory piece regarding the situation with. Well, before I go on to that, if I can expound a little bit on the FDR situation, I was going to say that it's really amazing when you read it that the way it's an education in a sense, the way the power brokers behind the scenes know no bounds and no limits, and they are willing to do anything, and they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person was prosecuted for attempting to overthrow the government of the United States and assassinate the president.
Wow.
Sorry about
that's
that.
That's all right.
Hey, real life happens even on live radio.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, oops.
I'm just glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, really. I was going to say that it really is kind of startling, the audacity of these people. And it's a real lesson in today to look at the at this coup that was planned and to realize that it makes 9/11 reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it puts it into a perspective where it's not such an outrageous thing. A lot of the people who reject the concept of conspiracy don't do so because of the evidence. They do so because conceptually they cannot get their minds around Americans killing Americans.
Right.
That honest, I found, because a lot of people that I've spoken to, and they just, it's just so far away from their consciousness that they just cannot believe it.
Well,
so
that was the big stumbling block for me for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while till I actually sat down and saw Loose Change on a big screen here in the Valley. I don't want to go there, you know.
Right.
And once you're confronted with it, and once that wall is down, it's quite a revelation.
Right, once you accept it.
Yeah.
Real quickly, I know we're probably running low on time. I was going to mention that the caller about Bush and the quote about the Palestinians and whatnot, that was quoted in Haaretz originally.
Right.
That was the first thing. I have the link up on the...
I have Haaretz, I have the Guardian, I have the Washington Post,
right. Well,
I have a whole bunch of them, six of them on my website.
It's just one quick paragraph, and I'll read it directly off of Haaretz. It says, according to Abbas, immediately thereafter Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then he instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am determined to solve the problem in the Middle East. If you help me, I will act. And if not, the elections will come, and I will have to focus on them. So that's a quote right from Haaretz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about the deal with quotation marks on your website and all of that.
Oh, I quoted what I had said. The point that the guy, the original guy and I were arguing about is I said, Bush says God told him to invade Iraq. And so I quoted myself to link into the article so people knew that's what those links were about.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I get your email address? So
sure.
I can
it's just Jeff at jefffarias, F-A-R-I-A-S, .com.
Okay. I'll send that link to you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Also in line with that, I'm going to find this. Richard Land, who is the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, I have the audio of this. I'm going to try and dig it up on the break. Actually said George Bush told him that God told George to run for president when he was governor. So it's not that far of a leap that Bush is also telling Middle Eastern leaders that God's telling him to invade countries. He thinks God has been talking to him for some time. My theory, it's just Dick Cheney on an intercom, but we'll be back. simulcast. We both hit the red button at the exact same time. Synchronicity. It's all coming together, folks. It's all coming. Yeah, a little soundboard humor. That's the Molloy Show, but you all know that on the NovaM Radio Network. Let's take a few more calls here. Who's been holding the longest? Alex is in Miami. Alex, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just, like, I've been realizing, like, little by little. Just the other day, I just happened to pick up 1984.
Mm-hmm.
It dawned on me how, like, have you noticed all the presidential candidates that actually speak, like, the direct truth and, like, the common sense? Those are the guys that get, you know, they make them out to be these, like, crazy kooks, radicals. They're saying the truth.
Yeah,
you know
I saw that on the Dean campaign. You know, Dean would say, like, well, you know, capturing Saddam Hussein isn't going to make us any safer. Oh, they'd all go crazy. He's nuts. He's a lunatic. And, you know, 6 months later, he was right. You know, it's on and on. Yeah, excellent point,
like,
Alex. Yeah.
The media is spins, and they have so much power. And I totally think it's censored. I don't know if you saw, I saw an article about the YouTube debate that the most censured question was about impeachment against Bush or Cheney. They didn't do any questions about them.
Really? They censored all those questions? Wow.
They censored on YouTube. I wish I had the website. I'm driving.
Wow.
But there was like about a third of the questions all were about impeachment. And they didn't put not one of them.
Wow.
So it just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, and even nowadays, you know what I mean? Like I was like the gentleman before, talking about 9/11, you know, a couple of years ago, remember when Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, everybody thought, oh, you're crazy. You don't waste your money watching that movie. You know, that guy's a kook. That guy's just a crazy radical, you know, conspiracy theorist. You know what I mean? But guess what? Pretty much, you know, a lot of the major valid points in that movie were made are true. I just saw Loose Change today. I was like, freaked out. I had seen a couple others.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's hard evidence out there, I mean, stuff that's out there that they even all governments published and released and declassified, if you tell somebody, 9/11 could have been a false flag operation, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yep, people don't want to believe it.
And I don't know, it's just kind of scary. 2 + 2 = 5, right?
Yep. We're through the through the looking glass. You know the odd thing, and I've been thinking about, you know, sort of what took down the Soviet Union. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, obviously it was a complicated situation, but a lot of it had to do with it. People just lost faith in the government. They just didn't believe what they were hearing anymore. It was just so corrupted, and it was such doublespeak they were hearing, and people just knew they couldn't trust the government. There was so much corruption. They couldn't trust the media. They couldn't trust anything anymore, and you can't maintain a system like that. You can't, especially in our system, you can't govern a people without their consent, because ultimately it comes back and bites you.
You called it for what it is, doublespeak.
Yeah.
If you have a chance, next couple of days or whenever you have a chance, look at the last couple of pages, 1984, where they actually, you know how they give that little description of what doublespeak is?
Right, right.
It is amazing. And when you apply it to, like, today's administration, you know what I mean? Like, you know how people in North Korea, they're just like, it seems like they're, like, on this big, great drug.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about, like, Kim Jong-il and all that crazy stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
The way that I see it, the way that this country is going, you know, we might not be so far off. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, the stuff that, like, the media gets away with and what they decide is important, like, the mainstream media, you know what I mean? Like, for heaven's sake, in Ohio, two poll workers were indicted and convicted of election fraud. They gave 150,000 votes to George Bush. That wasn't reported almost nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we saw endless coverage of the runaway bride or, Lindsay Lohan's latest DUI and all that crap. Yeah.
Paris Hilton, you know, flashed her crotch again. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that alone, in my opinion, is huge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, the freaking two poll workers gave 150,000 votes, which was pretty much handed in the election, and nobody covered it. Even now, with all this stuff, I hope that the media gets on, you know, has a little wake-up call, starts covering this, because, I mean, the attorney, like you said, John Stewart, the guy who's in charge of the law, that's like the equivalent of, like, the director of Homeland Security being found out that he's an Al-Qaeda agent.
Yeah, exactly. The guy in charge of the law of the land can't tell the truth. It's mind-boggling. And eventually,
the funny thing is that you don't have to be a lawyer or, some seasoned, law professor to know that guy is full of crap. You know what I mean? He has a smug smirk on his face, and he's, I don't know, whatever. I just, I swear, like, I look at him and I feel like hitting him.
And well, keep your hands in your pockets for now, Alex. I'll get you thrown in jail. Thanks for the call, brother.
No problem. Man.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Hey, I promised that Richard Land quote, and here it is.
Richard Land, one of the directors of the conservative evangelical Southern Baptist Convention.
The day he was inaugurated, there were several of us who met with him at the governor's mansion. And among the things he said to us was, I believe that God wants me to be president.
Now, the guy saying that is an ally of Bush, a friend of Bush. He wasn't trying to zing him. He wasn't trying to get at him. This is a documentary that Frontline did about Bush and his Christianity. So it's not a leap to consider that, you know, he told Mahmoud Abbas, God told him to invade Iraq. Let's go to John in Desert Hot Springs, California, listening to us on Sirius Satellite. Hey, John.
Hello. Jeff, is it?
Yes, it is.
Hey, well, how are you doing? That guy that got on your case about you said exactly this, you know, George Bush. All I can tell you is that sounded like a guy in a bar, and you make a bar bet. I don't know if he was like, where the guy goes, I bet you $10 he never said that, and whatever. And so if the guy used the word is instead of and or something like that, he wins.
Yeah.
And that's what that guy, I know, and you have to understand, a lot of people that call into the show are probably into their cups sometimes. And I don't mean that disparagingly to all the truth seekers, I mean, we're all in, but it's just that I bet on Pope John Paul II and Terry Schiavo dying on the same day. Now, they died within a couple of days of each other, and I went back like, aha, and the guy goes, hey, you said the same day.
Right.
And I lost my bet.
Right.
And I just figure, like, when people like that call in and start parsing and syntax and, like, you said exactly this and whatever, it's you can never win an argument against a person like that, right?
Right. Yeah, because exactly. It was just, I don't know.
He got you, right? Because you're like, well, I did say that. Like, oh, man, I didn't mean it. So he completely ignores the fact that what was your intention of your statement? What was the broader meaning of it? And he goes right to what are the words? Let's diagram this sentence.
Well, but the thing is, the quote that I put up, because I was having an argument with another guy on the air calls up and he called me a liar on the air for saying that it's been reported George Bush told Mahmoud Abbas that God told him to invade Iraq, and I said, well, it's been reported in the Washington Post. You're a liar. I'll bet you $10,000 nothing like that was ever in the Washington Post. And so I took my statement, George Bush says, God told him, and I put my statement in quotation. So people who went on my website were looking for the links I promised to put up, six of them, wouldn't know where to find it. And now this guy thinks my putting quotations around
because
what I said.
To the surface, right? Yeah. He didn't want to look up your links. He was going, what was actually said?
Right.
See, that's, yeah, so you can never win an argument. And
it was ridiculous.
I know a lot of people think, people always say, like, when you vote for a third party, I'm going to make a big switch here.
Mm-hmm.
When you vote for a third party, people say, oh, you're throwing your vote away and all this. But in the United States of America, if enough people vote for a third party, the general, not the Electoral College or anything, and we get 20% of the vote a party does, they will then be eligible for all the public financing and all of the other things that the Democrats and the Republicans get.
Right. And they'll be
so
on
you
the
don't throw your vote away when you vote for a third-party candidate.
Yep.
That's a mythology that's put out there, like, because everybody thinks, oh, I can only vote for a winner. No. Mm-hmm. Political change is something that takes place over time.
Right.
It's not like one election, oh, I won, I lost. And if people – well, you know, Ross Perot, the first time he ran, got 19%.
Mm-hmm.
And – had he got 1% more, there would have been another party
in
all these elections that would have gone against George Bush, the Clintons, and all this stuff. So you are not wasting your vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to go after a third party, it is a true option. It's fair. It's reasonable. And it's just a matter that political change is something that isn't like just changing your shirt. It sometimes takes – I mean, did the civil rights movement take place in one election? Did the people suffer? No, it was a long-term process, and so
last third party candidate to win a presidential election,
Teddy Roosevelt.
Abraham Lincoln. Teddy Roosevelt came close.
That's right, because he was a Republican.
He was
the first Republican.
Yep.
Man, you know, you're doing a great job filling in for Mike Malloy.
Thanks,
and
John.
I hope that anytime he needs you, you're going to be there as the great. You know, hey, here I am. I'm a step up. I'm really enjoying listening to you, and good luck, and I hope to hear from you again.
Well, thank you. Actually, I have a show right before Malloy on 1480 KPHX. It's streaming, so if you're on the internet, you can catch it there.
You know what? You said that so quickly.
Okay.
What was the
1480kphx.com.
KPHX.
And
well, you know what? I might follow you there, sir.
I stream every day from 3 to 6 p.m. West Coast.
Hey, terrific.
Have
a good night.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you for taking my call.
Take care now.
Right, bye-bye.
Hey, we'll be right back. Hey, one more segment. Boy, 6 hours can just zip right by. We'll be right back. We'll try and work in as many of these last four phone calls as we possibly can. Stick around. Snapshot and it goes without a
so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Oh, come on, who doesn't love Kermit the Frog? I mean, come on. It's been a long day. I need something sweet and sappy and cheerful to close it out with. Let's go to Kirsten. Listening from on KPOJ in beautiful Aberdeen, Washington. Kirsten, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, it's really interesting to me that when you opened the show tonight, you expressed concern about the August recess.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes prior to that opening line from you, I was discussing with Jude, my oldest and closest friend. She founded Women Standing in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
That we were concerned about the recess. And I wonder if Congress will even be reconvening. It hit me this afternoon on a break in my day, and I was sitting in my car. I'm one of those spooky women, Jeff. I get things, and 9 times out of 10, they come to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in my car listening to Progressive Talk Radio, and it hit me about this break that's coming, and I turned the radio off, and I sat there, and I goosebumped and went, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of, we'll just say trepidation about it. It would be the ideal time for him to lower the boom.
Yeah.
This administration is, as in my wildest dreams, I've said this so many times, never would have believed this country would come to this point.
Yeah.
Ever.
I hear you. I've been having those really, the feelings you described, just really shaky feelings, really uncertain feelings, and really looking a little deeper into everything I hear ever since the Chertoff gut feeling thing came out. I was like,
wait a minute,
they're trying to scare us, and all of a sudden you're hearing the words Al Qaeda every 30 seconds or so,
right,
on some cable nation. So, you know, it's like there's this all of a sudden big build up, you know, airport scares, all this stuff going
right.
on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that Jude and I have been discussing for many months now is the possibility that there will not be an election in 08. And with this last executive order, he really put the last peg in place to do what needs to be done and to take control and to stop an election from happening in 08 and just have it all.
Yeah.
And
they've certainly put enough special directives and presidential orders in place to make that happen should they decide to.
Yeah. And you're having Sophia, who is Jude and I have been so delighted with her. The first night she was on with you, we noticed and felt a definite paradigm shift on the show. And it was a big shift, Jeff.
Right.
And that woman sees the big picture.
Right, yeah.
She really sees it, and she embodies it. And we want to thank you. We want to extend our love to Mike and to Kathy. Is his wife's name Kathy?
Yes, Kathy and the little baby Molly. And, yep.
Yes.
We expect him back tomorrow night. We got an email from Kathy this afternoon saying he's shown a lot of progress, and they're going to try and get back on the air tomorrow.
Well, and we want to extend our love to you, too, because you're just great, Jeff.
Thanks,
thank
Kirsten.
You
I appreciate
so
that.
Much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Same to you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Mark on KPOJ, also in Florence, Oregon. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jeff. You are great. You're very,
very
good.
Kind. Thank you.
Thanks for all your efforts to try to preserve our freedom and democracy. Jeff, what do you think? Your previous caller here, this good lady, I think she basically said what I wanted to say. And where do you find the remedy if it's not in Congress toward impeachment? And if impeachment is going to bring about another false flag operation and they're all set up for it, you got any ideas? You're a wise man. I just wanted to ask your opinion.
If another false flag, I just think we just shout it from the rooftops. You know what I mean? If we get hit again, don't let the fear take over. You know, there's enough people who are onto them now that weren't back in 2001, and I don't think they can pull it off again. I don't think they can dupe us again. They're just so unpopular and so untrustworthy at this point in the minds of most Americans. I don't have a lot of hope that they'll pull something off like that.
Well, Jeff, do you think that they're holding it over the heads of Congress?
Possibly.
Is that why they
not all of them,
but
enough of them? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to speculate, but it's certainly a possibility.
Yeah. Well, the Constitution is written, as the wording goes, it says that Congress shall impeach. It's not there's no option there.
Yep.
If there's evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors, and I think it goes all the way up to treason here.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been in 6 months, and they've got another year and a half to go, and they show no signs of moving toward impeachment. I think it's a big mistake, because I think at this point there's nothing to lose, and that impeachment is the only possible remedy. If it's not one thing that they're caught for, it'll be another thing they're caught for, that they're going to move ahead with a false flag operation on. And I think that they're about 6 months late right now on getting the impeachment going.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good point, Mark. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Thanks for everything, man.
All right, thanks. Yeah, we had a caller who popped in and dropped, had put in the line there that she was concerned about Corey Rowe being arrested, one of the producers of Loose Change. He's been freed. Apparently, at the time of his arrest, he produced his discharge papers to prove he was not, in fact, AWOL from the Army. He was not a deserter. That didn't do good enough to the New York sheriffs. They put him on a plane, flew him to his base in Kentucky, and he was released when he was able to produce his discharge papers. So he is free again. The whole arrest was kind of a probably just a way to try and discredit him before their movie goes national, that this guy's somehow a deserter, and now they got some newsprint on it that they can all, Hannity can wave the paper around and say he's a deserter. Some crap like that. Anyway, hey, I want to thank Ian Huff. Everything you heard came through his nimble fingers. Thanks to all the callers who participated in tonight's program. I'm sorry I didn't get to the last three of you on there. I'll be back in my regular time slot tomorrow, 3 to 6 on the West Coast, 6 to 9 East Coast. You can check me out at 1480kphx.com or novamradio.com. Streaming there and podcasts are available. Thanks to everyone. I had a great time here. I hope Mike is healthy and back in fighting form tomorrow night. Take care, y'all.